on the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
Okay. All right, guys. So today I am here with Empowered Fitness Assistant Coach Jolie Price. And this is our first podcast episode. So we have not officially named the podcast, but this is something that people have been asking us to do now for over a year, I think, over on my YouTube channel. Jolie is a former NPC competitor. My name is Maddie Michelson. I'm the CEO of Team Empowered Fitness, and I'm an IFBB Bikini Pro. We are a lifestyle and contest prep coaching team. We do a lot of functional work. I like to say we are the team where physique meets functions. So without further ado, we are going to talk a little bit today about our competition prep journeys and kind of when you know to press go, or maybe when it's not a good time to press go. So let's talk about all the things. Recently, I as many people know, I had a boob job back in June, and I had decided to take a break from the stage. Honestly, the boob job was one of the things that I put on hold for such a long time before deciding to finally do it. And I didn't want to do it because I didn't want to take a break from training. But the boob job really allowed me to pull back, learn how to eat intuitively, cultivate a healthy relationship, one of the healthiest relationships I think I've ever had, and take a break from training. I didn't have a gym membership all of June, all of July, and really, I got my gym membership again back late July, early August, at a bodybuilding gym here in St. Pete, and then started training again. And I was like, damn, I kind of like what I'm seeing. My body is responding quicker. And then I kind of had my fun, so to speak. So this past weekend, Tampa Pro was here, and my coaches from Fit Body Fusion, Jamie and Greg DeBernard, were there. And I went and met up with them, and we talked about me entering into a prep this winter. But what I wanted to talk about was just sometimes, you know, I think that we jump into preps prematurely, sometimes to run from things, sometimes to suppress feelings that we're having, maybe about gaining weight or accepting and loving our bodies in a different size. Or exploring just uncharted territory. And we navigate back to competing because it's comfortable and it's safe. But that doesn't always mean that it's right. So right. Jolie, I know that you recently, if you're comfortable talking about it, have kind of struggled with that because we were about to put you, you know, up on stage again in 8 weeks. And today we kind of had a conversation about it not necessarily being the right time. Do you think caused you to kind of jump into a prep?
You know, I think it's interesting, you know, what you were saying, like we always go back to what we're comfortable doing. And even though going into prep and the bodybuilding world for first timers, it's uncomfortable and you don't know what you're doing, but when you've done it a couple times, you find a groove and you want that, you know, that determination and that dedication, and you kind of don't want to have a lot of balance in your life. It's like, you just want to hone in and focus on something. But for me personally, you know, I competed last June, I did two shows and then, went into maintenance phase and then straight into a building phase in January to May. And then when I started prepping for the end of August show, that was my plan. It was going to be about a four month prep. I I just was like, you know what? I've developed a lot of anxiety going into it. I just, my cortisol was all out of whack, and I was having a really hard time shifting out of this comfortable space that I had created with my family. And it was like, well, summertime is coming. Like, I want to be able to go and enjoy a vacation with my family and not have to stress about being in prep, or if, you know, well, my kid wants to go have some gelato and like, I can't enjoy that with her. It was just like, I just wanted more balance for a little bit while longer. So I decided to put it on pause and just be like, you know what? I need to just focus on myself. So I dove into. Now,
if you don't mind me interjecting and asking you here, yeah. I really struggled with that as well. When I was starting to have feelings of like, because I remember when I first decided I wanted a break after my pro debut in March, I, about a week or two in, was like, you know, this is okay. You want to start eating the gelato, right? Like, quote unquote gelato. I wanted to, you know, go out and have a few drinks here and there. And then all of a sudden I was like, I started to almost get anxiety about that. And so how did you continue to stay on that path despite maybe having some of those feelings? Did you have some of those feelings?
Yes. You know, it was really just a little bit out of time. I think when I was coming out of the shows and I was following my reverse, like to a T for however many months we were reversing back to the maintenance, I guess I was so zoned in that I was just really seeking some more balance. And for me personally, with my daughter, she's just turned 7 years old a few weeks ago, for her to be like, Mom, I really want you to have some Froyo with me. It was like, it was almost like a punch in the gut. Like I was robbing her of this experience with me as her mother, this mom and daughter like experience. That, and so like when I said, hey, let's go get some Froyo, and it was like, she was like, and I grabbed the cup and she was like, wait, you're going to get some? And I was like, yeah, I'm going to get some. It was like Christmas morning. Like, so for me to see her excitement to get to share some Froyo, it sounds so simple and so silly, but that was like the one thing that I think kind of pulled me out of the anxiety and the fear of being able to enjoy myself. Like,
so I think what you're getting at here, and I'm trying to connect this with my experience because we had similar experiences with that,
right,
is the importance of relatedness, social connection, relational intimacy, one of those three things.
Mm-hmm.
When I was going through that, I have had moments where I know that I need a break, but I'm also extremely isolated. And so it's way freaking easier to dive back into a prep because it's you versus you. And you're always, your irrational brain is always going to win in that case because you have no one to sort of pull you out of it. There is nothing more powerful in this world than social or relational intimacy with others, right? Absolutely. Whether it's your kid, your husband, your boyfriend. So what I found for myself was, what was different this time around when I knew it was time to take a break, no different than any of the other times, I had that intrinsic desire for balance. But this time around, I had friends, some that were bodybuilders, but truthfully, a desire for friendships with females that weren't bodybuilders. And that really helped me to find that balance because they wanted to do things like go to yoga classes or go get coffee or go get our nails done. And then I also had a desire for relational intimacy and having a relationship with someone who's not a bodybuilder has been transformational for that as well.
Yeah. And I know you and I touched a little bit on that, being in a relationship with somebody who's not a bodybuilder for you with your boyfriend and for me with my husband. You know, when I started talking about going into another prep with him, he was like, I love you, but I supported you for you, you know, for the prep for the first two. He's like, but I can't say yes to you doing it this time. And he's like, because I'm here to tell you all of the reasons that you told me you did not want to do it again, why you decided to hang up your heels, why you decided to, you know, to just take a huge step back and be with your family. He's like, you've never really had the opportunity to just stand back and just focus on being Jolie, on being mom, on, he's like, because me personally, I love to fill my plate with all of the things. Like Maddie, as you know, I was, you know, library director of the PTO, I'm room mom, team mom, like filling my plate with all of these things. And then I go crazy and I'm like, I wonder why I'm so stressed out. But I said no to all of that this year. And yeah. Now that she's going back to school and I'm finding myself with more free time, I'm like, okay, great. Like I can dive into prep again because I don't have all this extra stress. So prep is going to be easy. And the first, you know, the first few days were, I had already dropped a couple of pounds just because we started implementing a plan. And then having this conversation last night with my husband and listening to him be like, this is why you decided not to. It was kind of like, oh yeah, I had to really sit back and think and be like, maybe you just need to be, maybe you need to just do some more emotional healing, you know, more trauma response healing, things like that, that I have started, but I need to further continue it. And unfortunately, prep can mess with all of our hormones and it messes with you mentally. And it's like, do I literally go backwards in order to have to like start all over again? And so for me, I think that right now it's the right choice for me and my family because it's not just me. I'm not as isolated.
You know, what a beautiful thing that is, because prep we can identify as being one of the hardest things that we can put ourselves through. But I would argue that it's one of the easiest when you're putting that up against something like trauma and healing work.
Right.
Prep is no different than, in many ways, this is the negative side of prep, right? I'm talking here, I'm not necessarily glorifying prep, although I will in a moment, but prep, there is downsides to it in that if you are repressing any sort of trauma, or maybe you're dealing with, turmoil at home and things are chaotic within your environment, in your house, in your marriage. Maybe you're battling addiction with something. Prep is a really, really good way to sort of put off healing any of those things, because all of your energy and all of your resources and all of your capacity and even like your brain's higher functioning to like fight your physiology and you know, to get on the Stairmaster for 60 or 80 minutes when everything in you is saying, don't do it, conserve energy, you're in a dire state, you're starving yourself. It's like you're doing psychology work every single day on yourself. So there really is no capacity for healing.
There is none, because you'd have no choice but to dive headfirst into prep. We've always said there is no cheating, whether it's, you know, in prep, you can't do it. Or you're just not going to be successful at it and get to where you want to be. And then prep is a beautiful thing. It definitely, I mean, I look back at my journey doing the two shows and I'm like, this taught me so much about myself and so much about this world and where I want to be in it. And also where I don't want to be in it. So I never look back at it and be like, I regret doing that because of all these things, but it's like, I look at it and I'm so grateful because it brought me to you and in our relationship. And it brought me to all these other amazing women and men that I've grown to really love and appreciate, because we all go through similar things. And it's like, it's a wonderful community, but it, you know, like you said, when you are dealing with trauma, and I can go dive deeper into what I'm specifically have been dealing with. But when you're going through the trauma, you can't heal. And you just can't do it when you are diving headfirst into something like that. You run from it. And that's what I found that I was doing. I was going to use this prep in order to run away from closing a chapter on something that I've left open. And what I mean is, like, my husband and I, we were talking about expanding our family and having another baby. And it just kind of came to a head that due to my previous pregnancies, meaning I had a miscarriage and then in turn didn't have time to even grieve that, because mm-hmm. the following month I got pregnant with my daughter. So mm-hmm. increased anxiety and fear and all of the things that I never got to truly even enjoy it. Being my pregnancy, I never got to truly enjoy being pregnant due to all of that. And then I developed a blood disorder where I had very low blood platelet counts. So, and not having the support of she was great then, but now I know so much more. And I'm like, wow, I really didn't have a supportive physician at the time. She never told me much about it. So dealing with stress and the anxiety all together really puts this fear and makes it a traumatic experience. And so when we're talking about having another one, I was like, yeah, okay, it's taking me 7 years because I'm terrified to go down this journey again because of my previous journey. And then I'm more open to it. And we started trying. And I was like, this last time I was like, nope, I don't even want to try because I am nowhere even ready to want to be pregnant. And I'm having to realize that that's okay. Those are my feelings. I'm allowing myself to have those feelings and say, no, I don't need to get pregnant again. There are other ways to expand our family. So when we were closing that door that I have somewhat left open for 7 years, I was like, okay, I need something else to think about. I need something else to dive into. And then that's why we're talking about prep. And I was like, perfect. It's the perfect thing for me to do.
Because you just came out of a time where there was so many question marks and so much uncertainty.
So many. And I was like,
this is one thing you remember, like the back of your hand.
Exactly. I'm like, prep, I know exactly what to expect. I can dive into it. I'm honed in when I'm prepping. And it was a way for me to try to forget and ignore the deep-rooted feelings and that I needed to work through. And so I'm now going to allow myself to do that by saying no to something else that I love, but it's just not the right time. And I'm never saying never again.
Yeah.
To prepping and doing a show. I'm still young. I'm 35. Like, yeah. I know so many years, the stage is always going to be there, as we know, but there's more growth knowing that I can say no. And I don't have to do it. And it'll be better in the long run. So that's just a little bit about kind of what we've been talking about, you and I, and
experience. No, and I think other people will be able to appreciate that, because a lot of people don't stop to think about, you know, have I really healed from the traumas? I think that in many ways, I mean, even my prep for my pro debut, yes, I wanted to get on stage. Yes, I wanted objective feedback before I went into an off season. I knew that. Right. But I've now done probably 13 shows. I now have certainly done some preps where I'm just fighting something. And this, you know, I feel like I would almost dive into the preps, especially when I was super isolated, because it was justifiable to stay isolated. It was justifiable to not step out of my comfort zone and explore female friendships. It was justifiable to, you know, stay inside and not go on dates because I had to be in bed by 9 or 10 p.m. And I really promised myself during this life season, if you will, that all of that was going to change. And now, like, I have girlfriends texting me to the point where I'm having to tell them I'm busy because I'm hanging out with another girlfriend. Like, I have, you know, on the weekends, I spend maybe 2-3 hours working, and the rest of my time is free time with the guy that I'm dating. And so when I, you know, had thought about, it was so funny how this time the The thought of prepping, it wasn't something in the past that, like, in the past, it's always been so calculated for me. I've needed to know, like, exactly what show I'm doing. I needed to make sure all my ducks were in a row. I almost had to, like, be a certain, I didn't have to be a certain weight, but, like, you get what I'm saying. Everything had to be perfect. And it was kind of funny how this upcoming season for me really just fell into my lap. The intention to get on stage again wasn't even really there. It just sort of happened. It was just sort of like, wow, now I have the female friendships. Now I'm at a place with my body where I love the way I look in clothes. Am I the leanest I've ever been? Absolutely not. But I can tell you, like, it's only up from here, but I'm not even really in that bad of a spot. I look in the mirror, I'm like, damn, girl, you look pretty good. You look pretty healthy.
Dude,
I'm in a
fantastic.
relationship with, you know, someone who actually met me when I had an eating disorder, saw me then and obviously liked me then, and now loves the way that I look now and is willing to support me through this. And so I think for all those reasons, it was like the prep just sort of fell in my lap, and I was very quick to be like, well, why wouldn't I do it? I have healed. I'm sure there's still healing to be done, but different from you. And I think I want to share that opposing thing because I don't have anything else, you know, going on that I maybe need to kind of like get away from. I was curious for sure. I was curious to explore kind of what else was out there. What else was out there, meaning what does it feel like to go into the gym and to train without a training program? Or what does it feel like to go out on a date after you've eaten all your meals for the day and to order something without the objective of it being low fat, moderate carb, and high protein?
Right.
Or what does it feel like to not check in with coaches? Or what does it feel like to not wake up in the morning and step on that scale and feel some type of way about the number? I was curious about all those answers that I needed answered. And I took the time. I took all of May, all of June, all of July, and some of August, and probably the remainder of August, truthfully, to really explore the answers to those questions, and also to allow myself to feel safe. And I can say with confidence that I trust myself more than ever now because I haven't derailed anything. And now I'm sort of eager to explore what it looks like in a prep to now have all these things, because we can talk about that now if you're comfortable with it. It's different also when it's one thing to prep when you're isolated. The only person you have to worry about is yourself. But now I'm prepping, worrying about all the friendships that I've created, myself, and now a partner, someone that I care about who is not involved in this sport.
Right. And as you know, my husband is not involved in the sport either. He just kind of uses that time and he's like, okay, well, I guess I'm gonna eat healthy too. And I mean, he's in construction. He goes out to eat almost every day. And I'm like, okay, like let's hone that in a little bit. He uses that time to you know, kind of to look at himself as well. And but yeah, it's having a husband that is supportive is huge. And now, and it made my prep so much easier the first time, but now knowing that he is not on board, it makes me be like, okay, well, it's not just me. I'm not isolated. I'm not by myself. I have to think about him and his needs. And if he's really not going to be on board with this, I have to respect that. And also, my daughter is not on board with it either. She's like, Mom, I really don't want you to do it. And I'm like, okay. And then I selfishly am thinking, like, well, guess what? I do everything for everybody else. So this is what I'm going to do for myself. But at the same time, I'm like, they're really genuinely looking out for my best interest, and I need to do the same because, and that made me recognize that, well, you know what, Jolie, like you are dealing with some other stuff, and you need to sit down and really think about why you want to go into prep again. So it's one thing, like, and when they were supportive last year, it wasn't easy. Prep is never easy, but it was him pushing me in the gym. It was sometimes getting on the Stairmaster next to me and being like, hey, like, let's do this together. Like, yeah, I can see you're struggling today. Let's do it. What are you eating? I'm going to eat that too. And it just made it so much easier. And then my daughter's standing there and she's posing. She's posing with me while I'm on a phone call with you. So it was a lot of fun when you have support. And as far as friendships go, I honestly didn't know anybody else that was in this industry besides you. So that was interesting, navigating friendships, but I truly made some amazing friendships. And then they were all very curious. So they were and supportive and wanting to come see me, you know, at the shows and things like that. So, but again, like, not having anybody that's actually here in the bodybuilding world, it can make you feel alone and it can kind of make you feel like you're a little bit crazy. Yeah. What am I doing?
Yeah. And I think too, like, you can feel even crazier. One of the key words that you talked about here was needs.
Yeah.
And I think it's important because of what we go through and what we put ourselves through in a prep that you just communicate, like, there's things that we can all acknowledge are weird as fuck that we do in this sport. Whether it's some of the food combinations that we do, or whether it is, you know, our routine, or our stomach vacuums, or even the way that our hormones respond. You know, I was on a call with my therapist yesterday. My therapist actually works with some pretty big names in the bodybuilding space. I had no idea, but he does. And he was sharing with me, you know, you can create this. It's called I have it written down here in my planner or my notes. It is called OPA, and it's an outcome plan and action. And so he said, you know, you can create a contract essentially with people that you are in relationships with, and you can talk about your wants and your needs, and they can create one with their wants and their needs. And it's important when you are not in a prep and you're not yet kind of mentally in your zone and in selfish thinking so selfishly, to think about how a relationship is going to be successful down the line. Like, right. He wanted me to almost create this OPA for when I am in October, when I am quote unquote, not me. Talking about, you know, intimacy. If your partner needs to be intimate, you're not necessarily in the mood, but that's one of their needs. It's not just, I need intimacy, but it's an actionable plan. So what is our contingency plan when that happens? Maddie's not in the mood. She's tired. She's done 90 minutes on the stairs, yet my partner needs intimacy. Is this a IOU? Is this a, I suck it up in this moment? Do we have multiple options for what we do and how we navigate that? And so I just thought that that was a really important piece of advice when it comes to me now prepping with not just a partner, but also girls and friendships, for me to kind of almost forecast what are my needs going to be in those friendships? What do I need to ask my girlfriends for in terms of support? And how am I going to be able to support and continue to cultivate and nourish these friendships?
Yeah, you know, going back to friendships and just needs in general, I don't know if you've ever realized that so many gatherings and get-togethers with our friends or our loved ones is always surrounded by food, right? Mm-hmm. I think that having conversations with our partners and our friendships, being like, hey, we don't need to go grab a dinner. If you want to just come over and hang out, or hey, do you want to maybe just go for a walk at the park? you're still getting that intimacy, whether it's with your spouse or your partner or and your friendships, and you're still getting that connection that people just want. It doesn't have to be based around the food, because the food is a big thing. Or, you know, they always want to go grab happy hour or go grab drinks because it's an easy way to get together. It doesn't have to be that way. Even you can go to the movies. I mean, I've snuck in food, but in the movies before, my own food. And because I know everybody else.
It's an easy way to connect, right? When you're under the influence. Jeff and I talked about that a lot lately. And, you know, I think even before we started prep, almost starting to get the ball rolling with activities, and it's almost like we're priming the relationship for when that's no longer an option for us. You know, we recently started getting up in the morning and going downstairs on our, at our apartment gym, and just getting 30 minutes, walking in together. And we go back to our apartments after that, and he makes breakfast for himself. I make breakfast for myself. You know, and that's one thing that I had to express to him that I kind of needed. It's not the steps, but it's that I need a partner who, despite not being a bodybuilder, that's okay, who takes care of themselves. And it's interesting because he comes from a completely different world, right? Like he used to be Insta famous, workout guy back in college, but then he got hired by a big four, finance company. And now he's heavily into finance, and he works a 9 to 5 and sometimes a 9 to 2 AM. And so for him, you know, when he gets home, that's his time to relax. So taking care of himself looks different than me taking care of myself. But I said, you know, I really do need somebody who eats 3 meals a day. I need somebody who prioritizes drinking their water. I need somebody who doesn't vape, or who doesn't, you know, depend on going out on the weekends and getting drinks. Because although I'm so independent and I'm so secure in my journey, and I recognize that you're not a bodybuilder and these aren't things that you're going to do, that is a way for you to show support to me, because it puts me on an opposite side of the fence. It creates this dichotomy between you and me, and it makes prep look like the bad guy, at least in my head, when I now feel like I can't do these things, not even because I want to, but I don't have the luxury of just eating 1 meal a day. You know, when we first met, I mean, there were times where we would get together on the weekend, we would go have a big ass breakfast, and then we would literally fast until the rest of the day, just because we were busy. And that won't fly now. I need somebody who understands that I'm eating 4 and 5 times a day, and I can't just only eat once.
Yeah, or you have to time your meals around your workout. Like, that was one thing that my husband never could understand. And, you know, but I'm proud of you for having these conversations, because especially since your relationship is fairly new, you're going to have all of these conversations, and he's going to have to be on board and understand that. And then vice versa, you also have to remember, like, that this is new to him too. So, you know, prep is not new to you. It's something that you can do, but it's new to him at the same time. So, and you guys are navigating it together. So it's a partnership, but having those open and honest communications before things even start going, and with you and your knowledge, you're going to be able to be like, hey, this is what this month is going to kind of look like. This is what this week is looking like, and this is what I might need from you this week. Or, hey, you know what? Today, I'm just really not in a great space. Like, I'm feeling kind of grumpy. Like, you just have to calmly and communicate all your feelings and your emotions and all of the bad things and the good things. I mean, that come along with it, and you guys will navigate through it. And remember, it's a short period in your journey together that could last a lifetime. So this time right now is a test. It's going to test both individually, and it's going to test you both together. And it's maybe the first big test in your relationship but it's a pretty big one. So
yeah, and I think in relationships too, right? This is no different than a coaching relationship. And one of the reasons why you and I really preach working with the coach for 4 to 6 months before you start a prep with them, right? It's getting to know them and their inner workings and how, you know, how they are both in season and off season and what their behaviors and habits are. But I also think that, you know, in relationships like this, something that has been really helpful and may help other athletes is related to something that they can relate to. For example, he worked for PwC. PwC is just like Deloitte. It's a very, very tough grind. They run people into the ground. He did over 1,000 hours of overtime. He was eating one meal a day. He lost 30 pounds, all these things. He gets what it means to put your head down and just work. He broke up with so many girls when he did that, when, you know, working for that business. And so usually people have gone through difficult things. They've gone through preps, so to speak. And it's relating, it's having them remember that time in their life so that they can relate it in some way, shape, or form.
Absolutely. That's a great way to put it, because there's always something that they can relate to.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody, like you said, everyone goes through these tough times, and it's different, but it's so similar in the way that you have to react to things.
Yeah.
Like by putting your head down and just going for it. But yeah, I mean, I'm just, like I said, I'm just really proud of you for having those conversations in a newer relationship. It's so important, and it's going to set you guys up for success. So yeah. For anything that you guys are going to really deal with in the future together. So,
yeah. Well, mm-hmm. I'm going to go ahead and wrap up the recording. I want to thank everybody for tuning on to our first podcast episode. Hopefully this introductory episode gave you things to think about when you are trying to decide if now is the time to prep or maybe not the time to prep and instead the time to heal. Both equally as viable options and important things that we have to go through. If you are interested in lifestyle or contest prep coaching, the link is always up in the description to apply to work with either myself or Miss Jolie. Again, thank you all for joining today, and we hope to see you in a future podcast episode. I can see how to, oh.